It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Okay, so thousands of people set out to write a book each year and get it published. That's not news. Many hope to see their book turn into a bestseller. Not really a revelation either. But here's the rub. Even when a writer tries to do everything right, there is still no guarantee of success. For that reason, Irina Raine, an assistant professor of English at the University of Pittsburgh and author of the book What Happened to Anna Kay, has developed an undergraduate course focused on how a manuscript becomes a book and how a book becomes a bestseller. She joins us now in Studio A. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh, Irina Raine.
Thanks, Paul.
And also with us by phone is Mitch Hoffman. He's executive editor at Grand Central Publishing, a division of Hachette, to discuss what it takes to get a new book into the hands of readers. Mitch Hoffman, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Irina, let's start with you. How would you describe your class?
So my class is called was called the Contemporary Bestseller, and we really tried to analyze the different characteristics of bestsellers across different genres like thriller, science fiction, fantasy, romance, literary fiction. And in one section of the class, I got the class to take part in something called the Bestseller Lab. And the goal of this sort of hands-on exercise was to show the students how a manuscript goes through the publishing process. So they all had to take different roles, like author, agent, publisher, jacket copy designer, book reviewer, NPR host.
Well, who played me?
Well, I'm never going to tell. What happens in the classroom stays in the classroom. But I think that, and at the end, the class voted on the bestseller in the class. And I think what we learned is that there are just many factors and many people that go into making something a bestseller. And sheer luck kind of is one of the biggest factors.
And how did you decide to take this role-playing approach? This is a novel way of helping the students through all of this.
Well, in our writing program, I think students are just getting this great education on how to become stronger writers, but very few of them actually know how the business side of writing works. So, it was really interesting. On the first day of class, I asked my students, what were their favorite reads at the moment? And nearly all of them, I think maybe even all of them, were bestsellers. But very few of them really knew how those bestsellers landed in their hands. They just didn't understand how that worked. So I think that by sort of rolling up their sleeves and playing these different roles, students really got this hands-on approach about how publishing works firsthand, and they understood more about how books became bestsellers.
And does it have more to do with an ability or inability to write as that determines whether or not you get published? You did say luck is a factor, so I guess somewhat like acting, you can be a good actor and maybe not get a job. You can be a good writer and not get your book published. But does it have more to do with the writing or the sense of the business side of it and how to market your idea and get it to where it has some heft?
Well, I think what we learned is really writing is an important part of it, but it's only one part of the process. And I think, Mitch will probably be able to talk better about that side of things. But I think what we understood is that, the bestsellers, they were not necessarily the best written books, that, social trends play, a part where a book coming out at a certain time hits a nerve.
So a certain kind of slang that may have been not necessarily de rigueur 50 years ago might be in vogue now.
Or, just the trends like zombies or vampires.
Those are trends, really?
Well, meaning like that's what people are just interested in. And then a book comes out and it just hits that nerve like Twilight did. And it's just hard to know why. But
hard to know what people will react to or what will strike a chord with people.
But there's so many people involved on the publishing side that, Mitch will speak to. So many people that it's not just the author.
Let's bring Mitch into this conversation. Mitch, what does it take from the publishing end to develop a bestseller? Does it vary by genre, and how might it be different from the past?
Well, to build on what Irina said, I will say, and this is something that I think all writers, wherever they are in their career, whether they've written several books or they're aspiring to publish their first, should take heart in, is that the book really is the thing. Every part of the publication process for any book, regardless of the category, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, starts with the reader, in my case as an acquiring editor, falling in love with something that the writer has put onto the page. The writing of the book opens the doors and makes everything possible. You know, and that, of course, is the one thing that the author has the most control over. It's quality. And I think Irina is right that there is a certain amount of luck that does enter into the process, but that's not the whole story. You know, it really is a combination of talent plus persistence and luck. The luck part seems unfair, but if you have the first two, if you have the talent and the persistence, the luck will come. Whether it'll come immediately over the long term, I mean, that's a lot of other things determine that. But it all starts with the work that the writer has produced.
And as editor, what's your role in the process?
Well, it's several parts. The first part, you know, is acquisition. It's looking for books that first I respond to as a reader. You add that then, since I work for a large traditional publishing house, books that I feel that my publishing house can publish well and work in partnership with the author to connect with readers in the wider world.
Let me ask you something, because you said earlier that, you know, the first thing that grabs you is you personally have to form some sort of connection with the work. It has to be something that grabs you, that you like.
Yes.
But then how much of it, of your critical eye, is looking at this and having to say, I may like this, but is this going to strike a chord with the people who are buying books, with the contemporary readers of today?
Well, I mean, that is part of my responsibility. It's not merely to like or enjoy a book. If I can then take it to the next step and say, I see a way to work inside my publishing house with this author to then reach the readers, and I can define and understand who I'm publishing this book for, then there's a very good chance that this is a good publishing partnership in the works. If I love a book, but I don't see necessarily how we would get readers and the author together, then I know this isn't really for me, but that's okay. There are other publishers out there, and there are many paths to publication available to a writer. I'm not looking to be a gatekeeper and to keep anyone out of the publishing process. I'm looking for someone who I can dedicate myself and my company to for a year, and hopefully for many, because you are looking ultimately for writers that you can publish not just for a book, but over a career.
Irina, what was it like for you when you were writing your first book?
Well, I think that I had an advantage because I had started out working in book publishing. And that helped a lot, I must say. And I mean, I think not every writer sort of benefits from this. Not everyone writer should actually peer behind the curtain to see how things work. But it helped me a great deal because, while I was writing, I was able to sort of focus on the artistic process. But then when it came time to sell the book or to promote the book, I was sort of better able to advocate for myself in a certain way. So when in looking for an agent or scrutinizing a contract, you know, I think that a lot of first-time authors are really forced to advocate, rely on others to advocate for them. And I think that in my case, it really helped me.
And I'll throw this out to either of you, but either Mitch or Irina, what aspects of the publishing process do you think get overlooked by not only the general public, but by new writers?
Well, I'll jump in and start answering that one. I would say that on the publisher side, probably all of it gets overlooked by the general public. When we do our jobs well, because when we do our jobs most effectively, when a publishing house is at its best, our work is completely invisible. All writers should know about, all I want them to care about, frankly, is the book and the reader. You know, my job is to be, on the one hand, work with an author behind the scenes to help them make the best book that they possibly can, that they envision, and then be a broker and connect writers with their audience, and then to quickly get out of the way. As an editor, I doubt that there are very many people out there or people listening to the show, who could sit back and name who their five favorite editors are. But they could very well name their favorite 5, 10, 20 favorite authors, which is as it should be.
We're talking about how to publish a book, what it takes to publish a book, with University of Pittsburgh Assistant Professor of English, Irina Rain. She's author of the book, What Happened to Anna Kay? Also with us is Mitch Hoffman, executive editor at Grand Central Publishing, a division of Hachette. And he's here to discuss what it takes to get books into the hands of readers. And Mitch, talk about some of the best-selling books and authors that you've worked with. How much can a publisher do to try and turn a manuscript into a bestseller, and how much is simply about chance or word of mouth?
Well, we can do a lot to give a book its best chance. Obviously, there are two different approaches you'll take. If you have an author who is already a bestseller, who already has an audience or a platform of some level, there's one kind of publishing that you do. For example, I have the great fortune of working with an author like David Baldacci, who has a new book that was out just a couple of weeks ago. And he is 30 books into his career. You know, people know who he is, so we spend then a lot of time working to make sure we announce the book, that people who already know they love his books or where it's coming, they're excited about it, and then doing what we can to build on the audience he already has to bring more people to the party. That is very different than from what we would do for a debut novelist that, of course, no one would ever heard of. I work with authors, I can name a few. These are two authors that I've done this for recently. You know, a wonderful thriller writer by the name of Jeff Abbott, who wrote a book called Adrenaline a few years ago. We spent a full year in a very long march up to publication, printing thousands of galleys or early readers' copies that we spent a lot of time putting into the hands of booksellers, reviewers, all people within the book trade, long, long, long before the book would go on sale, long, long, long before any readers would buy it in a bookstore, to convince people that this book was wonderful, worthy of their time, for booksellers worthy to give us some of their precious shelf space in their bookstores, to put it in front of their customers and hopefully recommend it to them. And we spent time online and marketing and pushing it out and working with social media and bloggers and really every channel to the public conversation you could think about to earn our moment in the sun and give readers the opportunity to hear about the book and hopefully make this a new author to try. And that was a process that involved probably hundreds of people on our end when you counted up me on the editorial side and the publicity department and the marketing department, then our sales department and individual sales representatives who fanned out around the country to talk to their individual booksellers. It really is a small military operation. Of course, it's a very kind and gentle military operation.
Right.
The goal is to spread storytelling.
And Irina, what do you have your student writers consider when it comes to e-books? Does it make a difference in the way a story is written or promoted?
Well, I think that e-books are generally just a format, or it's really just a way that people are reading books. And I think what I found really interesting in the class was that, the way my students just read was very similar to how the general public reads, which is that there was quite a lot of print books. They read a lot of print books. And there was also e-books that they read on different, devices, tablets, and even phones. So it was actually a nice example of sort of the general public. But I think what was most interesting to me was, and what we did talk about in the class from the writer's perspective, is that sort of the ebook format or the online format is really how editors and literary agents encounter your work. So when you're, in the old days, we used to send in manuscripts. And so an agent or an editor could flip through, let's say, things are sort of heating up later in the book. They could sort of flip through and give the book a chance a little bit. And what we talk about in class is why a strong beginning is so crucial is because so often the beginning is really where the editor or the literary agent either decides or rejects. I don't know, Mitch.
So in 20, 25 maybe, pages or so, somebody might say this is not grabbing me and toss it onto the heap and grab the next book?
Well, I don't know. I'll have to ask Mitch how many things he tosses in a heap.
But is that how it works for you, Mitch?
Well, I think it is true that the writing of a book has to be strong from the outset. I don't know that e-books have materially changed the submission process, except that we get a lot more submissions than we otherwise would have in the days when people had to You print out, you take the time and expense to print out a manuscript and ship it in a box. There's much less friction when it comes to putting an ebook into the, putting a manuscript into the hands of publishers to consider. For me, from the publisher side, what ebooks have changed more, it's about the publishing landscape. It looks very different from it did 10 years ago. We used to have many more physical booksellers. We used to have Borders, which no longer exists. So there are fewer places for physical books to be discovered. There are entire communities that don't have a bookstore. But at the same time, there is a huge surge in the amount of books going out there. Just on the print side, a recent report from Valcker tells us that in 2013 there were approximately 300,000 print titles produced by traditional publishers. And that's in addition to another million from non-traditional publishers, which includes self-publishing. So that's 1.3 million physical books, physical titles, out there before you even include the number of e-books that are, that will be put out there by individuals. So for us, the challenge is cutting through the noise. And what we try to do is marshal all of our focus and energy and resources to allow an author's new book to be the one book to stand out amongst those hundreds of thousands of books that readers could have the chance to encounter.
And I do think the general public very often thinks that just the books that they encounter are, are the best books. But because it's become so increasingly hard, I think, to cut through the noise, it becomes sort of clear that there's so many good books out there, but it's just the challenge is really having them find a reader.
And Irina, how have your students – we have about 30 seconds or so left – but how have your students responded – because we began this discussion talking about your class. There are these realities in publishing, and your chances of succeeding are not – your odds are not great. So how do you help them deal with disappointment and the setbacks,
We don't look at it that way. I mean, I think it's not the intention. I mean, I think being armed with knowledge about how an industry works is extremely crucial, the industry you want to enter. And I think that the class realizes that, a dedicated, passionate writer, having important real-world tools is really good to have. But at the end of the day, our goal is really just to realize our creative visions and communicate with our ideal readers just one reader at a time.
Irina Rain is an assistant professor of English at the University of Pittsburgh and author of the book What Happened to Anna Kay. She's developed an undergraduate course focused on how a manuscript becomes a book and how a book becomes a bestseller. Irina, thanks for joining us. And also Mitch Hoffman, executive editor at Grand Central Publishing, a division of Hachette, discussing how to get a new book into the hands of readers. Mitch Hoffman, thanks for being with us as well.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us for this edition of Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Until Monday, have a great weekend, everybody.